from Music City, Nashville, Tennessee. Two verses and a chorus shy of a hit song. Here they are. It's Scott and it's Hino.
And the Music Row Show.
You know, air guitar is usually silent. I just thought I'd mention that. Welcome back to the
air
music.
Fiddle.
There we go. Welcome back to the Music Row Show, everybody. We're glad that you came back. We would love to hear from you. You can join us on Facebook.com/TheMusicRowShow or hit us up on Twitter at The Music Row Show if you'd like to chime in with your questions and comments and all that good stuff.
Right.
So what else is new, Scott?
Well, I'm going to introduce these guys now, I think.
That's a great idea.
Okay.
I like that.
These two are friends of the show and two people we just love running into at songwriting festivals. And we do all over the Southeast. We always run into y'all. Casey's a hit songwriter with number ones by Kenny Rogers and George Strait. Really one of my favorite Strait songs. It's one of those songs that I'll find myself just humming. Even if I hadn't heard it in a long time, I'll just be driving around and going, da, na, 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 na. Then I go, boy, that Casey Kelly.
Yeah.
Jerk Club.
Exactly. And, another member.
Yeah. Leslie's a Grammy Award-winning vocalist and has performed arguably one of Broadway's most recognizable hits on Broadway. They have both made their marks in New York, in L.A., and in Nashville. And individually have these amazing careers to hang their hats on. But then they discovered each other. And after many years of performing as a duo all over the country, they have finally released their first album together called Kelly and Ellis, The Long Road to You. And we're very excited about this. It's a pleasure to welcome them back and say, Casey Kelly, Leslie Ellis, we're glad you're here. And welcome to the Music Row Show.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, guys. Woo-hoo. Happy to be here.
All right. Very nice. Well, I got one big burning question, and that is, what in the heck took you guys so long to put out a project? What prompted this? What took you so long, and what prompted it?
Oh my gosh, it's been a long road. That's kind of like the theme of the thing.
It's there in the title. It's long road.
You know, that's your first clue.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We met in 2004. We started playing together, and we did a lot of, as you say, singer songwriter type. Events, mostly songwriter rounds and things. You know, we had a trio with Todd Cerny, mm-hmm. the really great Todd Cerny, for a long time. And then that was going somewhere. We cut a CD with him. And then, unfortunately, in 2011, we lost Todd.
That's right.
And we sat around for months, like, you feel like playing today? Nah, not really. We were just so thrown by that. And then we started building ourselves back up again. Okay, what are we going to be? And we started looking for a third person, you know, to try and reinvent the trio. But we just decided it had to be a duo because we had to do something original. We had to do something new for us, you know, we're the first duo ever. And so it's been a long time kind of developing this sound and the show that we have, which is a very theatrical show, the live show that we do. It's, you know, it involves doing Memory and My Heart Will Go On because we wanted to lay claim to our The Long Road to You. We wanted to lay claim to the things that we could record, the things that we could lay claim to.
Sure.
And for me, that was My Heart Will Go On Memory. And for Casey, it was many songs, but we chose Anyone Who Isn't Me Tonight because that's always been a really big crowd pleaser for us as a duet and The Cowboy Rides Away. And then we have other newer songs in it.
Yeah.
Do you work the cat's costume into the show?
Casey does.
I don't.
Casey does.
I
don't do this.
I can see that.
And by the way, meow never happens in the whole show. Just saying.
Huh.
So I, you know, and I was really reluctant to do those two songs again because, you know, I sang Memory almost 1,000 times in the almost 2 years that I did that show. And I was like, I done sung that song.
You've sung it, yeah.
So it was funny. We were sitting around with Max T. Barnes one night, again, thinking, oh, maybe we'll do like a trio thing with Max. This was like 3 years ago. And he said, well, how come you don't do My Heart Will Go On and Memory in the shows? And I said, because no one wants to hear those. No one wants to hear those. He said, no, everyone wants to hear them. Well, I said, well, I don't really want to sing them. He said, well, you know what? Everyone wants to hear them, and it really doesn't matter if you want to sing them or not. You know, I mean, you can, you know, this is part of who you are. And that's when the idea started settling in.
I'm going to back you guys up a little bit. So many amazing Bluebird stories of careers started, of co-writers met. But you guys might be the first ever love story I've heard from the Bluebirds. So just for our listeners, let's start there and how, because that's where you guys first met.
Yeah,
it is.
So tell the story, and one of you tell it, and then the other one tell the way it really happened.
Okay. All right. Maybe it'll be backward. I'll tell you the way it really happened, and then Leslie can make some stuff up.
Get on into the microphone.
I'm trying to get up in here. I had met somebody, a guy who wanted to sit around and play Beatles songs and that sort of thing. And we're sitting there doing that, and he said, you know, he said, I've been trying to get a night at the Bluebird, and I don't, you know, they want somebody who has some hit songs and stuff, and it occurs to me, he said, that if we could get you on the round, we could probably get them to let us have
get a book
an early round. Yeah. And I said, well, look, I can just call, you know, and we can set that up. He said, no, if you'll just say you'll be on the round, we'll have it. So I said, well, tell him. So he calls me not even a week later, and he said, well, we've got a date, and he tells me the date. And I put it in my book, but I used to remember everything. Remember when that was, and you used to be able to remember?
I can't remember. Even remember.
I was beautiful then.
Yes, right. And
I see what you did there.
See what I did?
Yeah. Right. And I came home from the row one night, said, oh, this is great. I don't have anything. Wait a minute. I'm supposed to be at the Bluebird. It's like 5:30. I'm supposed to be there at 6 o'clock.
Uh-oh. You know? The show starts at 6 o'clock,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, starts yeah. At 6, yeah, right? So I threw everything in a paper bag, my harmonicas, tuner, chords, grabbed a guitar, drove over there from Brookmead, and just got there in time. I go in and they're on the stage. The other three people are on the stage.
In the row.
The guy who set this up, it was Richard.
Mm-hmm. Richard Morton.
Richard Morton.
Thanks, and, Richard.
Yeah. And then there was this woman sitting next to him, and then there was Leslie, who I didn't know, and there was a chair on the end, and it was on the stage, not in the round. So I go over there and sit down, and I'm trying desperately to get my sound check in and everything, and I played a couple of things, and she says something like, "Hey, I know your songs. I think you might."
Well, you
if
started
I sing,
playing some of your songs. I didn't know who
yeah,
you were.
Yeah, just trying to get to do my sound check really quickly. Yeah. I said, "You don't know my songs." She said, "Yeah, I do." I said, "All right, whatever." So. We start playing. Richard plays first, and then the next woman sings to her husband, who's sitting right in front of her, and he's introducing people as it goes along, and he said we have someone with us tonight who has a Grammy, and I'm saying, wait a minute, what? Who? You know, you know, almost afraid that he's thinking I have a Grammy.
And you're going to have to say you don't.
And I'm going to have to, make up a joke or something, right, you know, to get over it. And he goes on with the story, and it turns out it's Leslie and her story of My Heart Will Go On. And she sings her first song, one of her compositions, and then I sing something, and I think you started singing along with me. You actually did start throwing some parts in. And we went through the night doing that. And at the end of the night, we exchanged cards.
I was trying to get demo work, so.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, sure, of course.
And months later, I don't know, but we started talking and then we'd meet occasionally. She was working a day job. Ugh. And only had
not, we're gonna have to come back to that, I think.
Yeah.
No, we do not. Still trying to forget.
Only had evenings off, and so we'd meet for dinner and that sort of thing, or go walk in the park on the weekends, and it was forever. It was just forever that we'd just. I think we were both in a place where we weren't really ready for a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But she was just fascinating to me, and for some reason all the junk that I say all the time was something she wanted to hear, and we just went on and on for a long time, and I don't know, maybe this is your place to come in.
Well, yeah, how accurate was that story? How accurate was that story?
It's pretty accurate.
When did it finally turn a corner? Is it?
I don't know. I think like at some point, one of my girlfriends at the day job. Ugh.
Where'd you work?
Oh, I can't say.
What kind of work?
It was for a healthcare company.
Okay. Oh, yeah. All right.
And it really isn't that I object to that, and I don't object to having jobs. I've had lots of jobs. It's just the people I had to work for were really ridiculous, and
it was not a fun working environment.
It was nasty. So. But anyway, I think at one point, one of my girlfriends said, why don't you just, it was my friend Leanne. Sorry, Leanne. She said, why don't you just date Casey? You're in love with him. She really talks that way. She's from East Nashville.
That's an exact imitation.
I mean, she's from East Tennessee. She's from Bristol. She said, you're in love with him. And I said, I am so not in love with him. He's exactly not my type. Excuse me. I just got divorced. Blah, blah, blah. You know, so... all my girlfriends were kind of telling me that I was talking about him too much and stuff like that.
So they saw it before you did.
They did. I was resisting it. You know, I came to Nashville. I was pretty broken. I weighed about 100 pounds. And I was trying to get, you know, I had been married. And it was a very abusive, destructive marriage. And I got out of it. And I had, my guitar had been under the bed, you know, for a couple years. I hadn't played or written anything. And I didn't know who I was. And I came here desperately trying to go on some kind of vision quest to find out who I was. And I got here and just tried to do that very thing, and showed up at the Bluebird for this show. Like, I had already played the Bluebird a couple times, even not living here, you know, mm-hmm. with Steve Seskin, who I'd been writing with in California and stuff like that. And
name dropper.
Yeah. So, I mean, I showed up kind of like, you know, what's the point? I mean, I hate to sound like that, but I was that low in my life. And, mm-hmm. And he showed up late, and he shows up with, it wasn't just a paper bag. It was like a Wild Oats shopping bag. I was like, who's this bag guy?
The bag person, guy.
The bag man. And, of course, his songs and his playing and his performance were so engaging that he really got to me. But most importantly, I had a friend.
Yeah.
So that's how it started. We were friends for months and months, and then.
That's nice. That's the beginning of the long road.
Yeah.
So we are going to
take... Well, the long road started long before that.
But. Well, yeah, that's true. We're going to take a break and come back and talk all about the project. This segment is brought to you by our very good friends at MainStreetProductions.org.
That is true. If you need a video, these guys are amazing. We've said it many times. They know how to work within a songwriter's budget and a beginning recording artist's budget. You know, who doesn't have a big record label behind them and $100,000 for a video? These guys pull it off. Scott and I did a video. Well, Scott's video actually a few months back, and he did a great job for that.
And it was fast. I mean, you know, we sat down and arranged what we needed, and I even asked him. I said, "How long do these things take?" He goes, "I don't know, 12 hours with a bunch of crew." And I said, "Why?" And he said, "I don't know." I said, "Can we do it without all that?" He goes, "Absolutely." And we did, and it turned out looking great.
Yep.
And not only that, then the turnaround was super fast.
Yeah.
Just a few days after. So highly recommend these guys, MainStreetProductions.org. Look them up on the web, MainStreetProductions.org, and let them know you want to do some videos and tell them you heard about them from the Music Row Show.
Yeah, we're going to be back with a whole lot more of Kelly and Ellis here on the Music Row Show.
Felt as if I'd died and gone to heaven. But if that's how it feels to die, then take me in your arms. I'm through with living. I'll get down on my knees and thank the good Lord up above that I'm the lucky girl who chose to love.
I feel sorry for anyone who isn't me tonight.
All right, welcome back to the Music Row Show. That's Anyone Who Isn't Me Tonight. That's Kelly and Ellis. Brand new album off of their project called, or their album called Long Road to You.
Yes.
And that that was actually a nice big hit one for you there, wasn't it, Casey?
It was indeed.
Come on in there. We want to hear every word you have to say.
I still say it was indeed.
Yeah. Good. Now, we ran into you guys many months ago. I believe it was at Smoky Mountain Festival, and you were talking about, you were very excited about this project, that you were in the process of recording it.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, that long ago? Maybe it was Frank Brown. Tell me it was
Frank Brown. No, it was Smoky Mountain. Then we talked about it again during Frank Brown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've been working on this for like two and a half years.
Maybe you should retitle it The Really Long Road to You.
The Super Duper Long Road to You.
But and this also, it's funny how we had with Wilson Fairchild, that album also had a very
organic
woody mm-hmm. feeling instrument wise. Mm-hmm. So talk about the production of this and how you guys, you know, how you decided to take it.
Well, I had been asked to sing background on an album that a friend of mine, Cooper Boone, did a couple years ago. And it was produced by a guy in town, brilliant guy. He's a composition major, songwriter in his own right, and played in bands for years, Dave Rivers. And so I was a part of that whole production of that record, and we got the record in the mail, the CD in the mail. We still say record because we're old.
It's a recording, so
it is
you
a
can
recording.
Say,
so we you say know, album. You can say it's okay. Album. And I just, we were listening to it in the car and I was like, I was crying. It sounded so beautiful. The voices were separated and the instruments were pure. And the way it all came together was just sounded just so beautiful. And I, you know, it's like one of those things when your friend sends you, even if you sang on it, he sends you the record and you listen to it and then you never listen to it again. Mm-hmm. I listen to it all the time. It's so good and so passionate. And so I said, Casey, if we can afford this guy, we got to get this guy to do our record. And he said he would work with us, and then we started the process of just building it slowly, brick by brick, and it really was so organic. With each song, we wanted to be able to envision a movie, a little mini movie, not so that we could make the video, but just so that we could say, well, what are we seeing, and what are we hearing, and what are we feeling in this song. We have a song in there called A House I Once Loved In, one of Casey's new songs, and it's really cool lyrically, and it's kind of, you know, a guy goes back to a house that's haunted with all the people that ever lived in that house, and he's one of them. And so we decided to do it kind of funny, cute, haunted, like not scary haunted, but like Beetlejuice haunted, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that's what we kept going with, and we could envision the whole thing, and We worked with the same team that my friend Cooper Boone, also a brilliant musician, worked with. We did all the tracking with John Willis because, you know, he sucks. Want to talk about the Jerk Club?
Another nice guy. Anybody who might just nice be, anybody who might just be tuning in, when we say that, we're being facetious.
Being sarcastic.
Very sarcastic.
Because these are some pretty nice guys.
If you're in the Jerk Club, you're a really, really, really nice guy.
Yeah.
Who's really, really, really talented.
Yeah.
You know, John is amazing, and we just had so much fun because we go, oh, throw a little of this on there and throw a little of that on there, and let's do like this sound and let's do this funny thing where the door slams, and so we wanted it. You know, we weren't thinking about radio or any of that crap. We were just we were thinking about what we wanted it to sound like and feel like and look like in our heads. Mm-hmm. Like Cowboy, we do the Cowboy Rides Away, Casey's song that he wrote, the iconic George Strait song. And we decided we wanted it to be like we're sitting around a campfire. And that's what was so funny is when the gentlemen who were up here before, they were saying there was like a porch. And that's how we mm-hmm. sort of did it too, although we have cello. The cello made it out to the prairie.
That happens sometimes. I've been to a few campfires.
I'm not exactly sure how he got out there, but
I've like seen guys riding horses with the cello strapped across their back.
Mm-hmm. Well, it happens. Yeah.
Yo-Yo Ma's a big camper.
Oh,
there
yeah.
you go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's a cowboy thing.
Yeah.
Cello.
Yeah.
Anyway, those are the things that were part of the process, and it was very organic. We did not know what it was going to sound like. It told us what it was going to sound like. And it was very scary because any record I've ever made, I've gone in and I was like, all right, so you play this and you play that and you play something that sounds a little bit like that record that so-and-so did and you play this. And we really didn't do that. And it was so it really evolved and very, very proud of it.
So you kind of touched on this just a tiny little bit. But so I'm guessing you weren't aware or paying any attention to any current trends in radio or what's out there right now when you were putting this together?
Not for any bitter or anger reasons, mm-hmm. you know, or like trying to do anything adverse, just because of what we were feeling at the time, just what we thought we were hearing in our heads or what we were, and things would occur to us. Like we did this song, Just Ask Me, which is one of Casey's songs, and we had the whole song recorded, and then we decided, well, shouldn't we do it a thing like where I'm like throwing the lines at you kind of thing? And so that was like after the fact, the whole thing was recorded. It was just going to be a song, a really great kind of bluesy New Orleans blues song. And then we just had fun with that. And it's just us. It's just so very us. And I think that's what makes
it. I remembered
special to us.
Tina Turner, their first record that I was aware of, one of their really early hits, was It's Gonna Work Out Fine. And she sings, Ikey. He says, yes, dear. I've been to see the preacher man. He says, the preacher man? You must be going crazy. Mm-hmm. He says, I started. You started what? And that whole thing of the answer thing, I have written a few things where it's kind of over the top. I write it so that I'll be playing them, and I'll get that I'll know what the movie is with that keeps me laughing inside about it, and so we just brought that out into the front, and it worked perfectly. With what we were trying to do, because what we're basically doing is presenting us and how we are and how we get up and play. And we start laughing in the middle of songs when we're
when you start playing a Beatle lick in the middle of a song.
Yeah, right. Just we do things. And this, that was part of our idea for this, is it would be us. It would reflect what our attitude was about the music and what we were getting out of it. And so it was.
We were kind of feeling like it was like a little bit like the Sonny and Cher show, but not so nasty, meets like Civil Wars, like somewhere in there.
Okay. Now, you mentioned Todd. You guys, of course, had the history as a trio. It was very cool to see his name in the credits doing some percussion.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
talk
yeah.
about his contribution to the CD and just what he brought to you guys musically.
We took one of the tracks from the CD that we had made
mm-hmm.
before.
We made a CD in about 2007.
Yeah, 2007. Todd had a studio in his basement, and we went over there when we realized we were a trio and we wanted to have some product to sell. Mm-hmm. And in particular, we were going to go over to Norway, and that worked great. We sold all of it the first day we were there. So,
yeah, but, that was a story.
but he did a lot of this production where he would go in after everybody else left and do tambourines and percussion and some piano and various things. And so we had a track from this with the tambourine.
Well, we had a whole track because Anyone Who Isn't Me Tonight is what we're talking about, and that was on that trio CD, And we had a whole track, but we just wanted to pull some of his stuff because he always used to, in the shows we used to do, he always used to get like such a grin on his face when he would play the tambourine and the percussion stuff. He would play like the stomp box and the tambourine at the same time. And he'd be like, we can't do a Kenny Rogers song without the tambourine going boom, 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 boom. So, you know, he just like did it in this sort of really exaggerated way. So we really wanted to have him to be a part of this because we know he would have been proud to be a part of it. So we called a bunch of our friends in on this one too.
Awesome. Well, you know, you guys feel like playing something for us?
Sure.
All right.
Yeah.
Great.
Yep. Here, I'll hand you the guitar.
Uh-oh.
There we go. You got your own special roadie there.
We're in trouble now. We better figure out what we're going to do.
Yeah. Or you can just make something up. Write something on the spot. There we go. Here.
That was very much the way we worked with this whole thing too, in talking about the production values and procedure. We'd create a sort of a demo with the right tempo and a click track,
mm-hmm.
and take that to John Willis. And in this case, we had this to just bring in, you know. But we'd work with Dave and just do these things, and in some cases I'd have these crazy little licks, and I can't sit on that chair. I can't do it and play my guitar.
Keep going. We'll figure this out.
But I'd play my little versions of the songs the way it was supposed to go, have the right changes in the right places and that sort of thing. And then we'd go in, and then John would play these fantastic licks and rhythm patterns and everything, but around whatever it was we were doing. So that was our procedure, and that's why we ended up bringing that thing from Todd.
All right.
Okay,
so
here we go.
Are we doing that one?
Sure, that sounds
good.
Is
that what we're doing?
Well, we were just talking about it.
Sure, sure.
Wouldn't that make good radio?
That would make amazing radio.
Unfortunately, I know it. Let's see. This is the Two Capo song.
It is.
Two Capos.
Yeah. Do not try this at home.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. Am I too far away?
I'd have
from
to buy another
now?
Capo first, so.
This is the drop D one with the K lever so that you can go. If you don't want it to be drop D.
I like that.
The funny thing about this song is that this was as you said, a big hit for Casey in the 70s with Kenny Rogers and Dottie West. And it was on the Donahue show. It was Donahue called it the perfect example of the immorality in new country music. And now we do it, and it's so tame. So it's funny. So we're playful with it. We do a little playful stuff with it because it's kind of corny, and we think about that whole... That was one of Todd's favorite stories, by the way. It was the example of immorality in new country music for you right now.
Here we go.
When you made love to me tonight, felt as if I'd died and gone to heaven.
Of course.
If that's how it feels to die, then take me in your arms and through with living. I'll get down on my knees and thank the good Lord up above that I'm the lucky girl he chose to love.
And I feel sorry for anyone who isn't me tonight. If you think I'm bragging, well, you're right. Your love has sent me flying, and I'm higher than a kite, and I feel sorry for anyone who isn't me tonight.
Come on, Kenny.
You've got the kind of body that was made to give a man a lot of pleasure.
Thank you, I think.
Mm-hmm. But what you've given me tonight is more than anything on earth can measure.
Oh, come on, anybody got a ruler?
Play nice now. Every inch of you that's a woman makes me that much more a man.
You wish.
I'm just about enjoying all I can stand. And I feel sorry for anyone who is
isn't me tonight. If you think I'm bragging, well, you're right. Your love has sent me flying, and I'm higher than a kite. And I feel sorry for anyone who isn't me tonight. Oh, I feel sorry for anyone who isn't me tonight. If you think I'm bragging, well, you're right. Your love has sent me flying, and I'm higher than a kite. And I feel sorry for anyone who isn't me tonight.
Woo!
Hey!
Wow! How about that?
All right,
boy, that was perfect. It's that time to take a break.
Unbelievable timing. That's awesome.
They're professionals.
We're here with Kelly and Ellis, and we'll be back in just a few minutes on the Music Row Show.
Okay.
Something I need to tell you.
There's something you need to tell me?
Yes, ma'am.
What do you need to tell me?
Well, you could fill a book with all the things I don't know. And if you need some good advice, I'd be the last one to see.
I ain't seen nothing yet.
But if you ever want to know a perfect way to kiss, I got one to show you that just can't miss. If there's anything at all you want to know about love, just ask me.
Ah, I see where you're going with this.
All right. Welcome back to the Music Row Show. That's called Just Ask Me. Kelly and Ellis off their brand new album, The Long Road to You. And that's one that you wrote with, Casey Kelly and Mr. Caswell.
Yeah, Bill Caswell.
Bill Caswell, all right.
You know, that reminds me of a question I didn't write down, but I kind of started thinking about it. So I noticed none of these are co-writes between the two of you. Do you guys write much together?
We've written a lot together, but those just weren't the songs we chose. It's funny, you know, the songs we chose, I mean, it was like 2.5 years ago that we chose them, and for different reasons. We chose I'm Not Just a Pretty Face because it was a hit for the Irish girl who made it a hit in the UK country scene, and Tennessee Whiskey just was something that I just really feel because it's a very personal song to me, and you know, it just didn't work out. But we are putting together a show, and we're thinking we need to write an opening number.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
For the show together.
Nice.
Something that says, you know, I'm Leslie, I'm Casey, and we are Kelly. No. So kidding.
Oh, rap. Wrap it up. Yes.
I was thinking more like Mickey Mouse Club, but okay. All right. I'll go
with the precursor to rap. Many people acknowledge that the Mickey Mouse Club was really the roots of rap.
M-I-C.
Yeah.
See, real soon.
Exactly.
L-E-S-L-I-E. Yeah.
Word.
E-L-L-I-S.
How about that?
Hey, mm-hmm. What about, since you just mentioned Tennessee Whiskey, you guys feel like playing that song?
Yeah.
Sure.
Tennessee Whiskey?
You want to do that one?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Let's see here. Okay.
Okay.
Get situated.
I'm
ready?
Said you'd show up sober. Looks like you failed that test. Couldn't walk a straight.
Tennessee Whiskey.
Tennessee whiskey.
So pretty.
Thanks, guys.
Tennessee Whiskey off The Long Road to You, which just released 2 days ago on iTunes and Amazon and all those places, right?
Everywhere, yep.
And your website is?
Kelly and Ellis, KellyAndEllis, like the island, .com.
All right.
.com.
That's .com, .com. .dot.
No, not the .dot.
That's where you get your hard copy.
That's it. All right. Hey, we got one more break to take. And by the way, Buddy just texted, and his next session is March 8th.
March 8th. All right.
There you go. Coming up. We're going to be right back with more of Kelly and Ellis. You're listening to The Music Row Show. Stick around. Keep it going. Keep it going.
Fine.
Come on, Logan. Back to the Music Row Show.
Our hearts will go on. They will. They just will. We're here with Kelly and Ellis, and that is, of course, their version of My Heart Will Go On from that little movie, Titanic.
Don't even mention it.
No little indie film.
Yeah, nobody's seen that thing.
Nobody saw it.
What has surprised you the most about the work involved in this day and age, getting anyone to hear your project? There's so many possible avenues. There's so many dead ends. How do you decide which to pick and which direction to go?
You and I have talked about this extensively.
We have. That's why I asked the question.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's sort of...
Way to break the illusion. Thanks. You're just awesome.
It's okay.
I'm just kidding.
I've never met Scott before.
We've never talked. No, we have talked about this quite a bit.
It's as an independent artist, it's really difficult. In some ways, there are more things open to us now than there were, say, when I was started making records in the 90s, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was sending out flyers on little cardboard things with stamps that I'd have to stamp every one of them, you know, like actual stamps. And in some ways, it's just so loud out there on the internet. It's very hard to get recognized. So. Particularly, you know, we waited until after the election because the campaign was so noisy and so loud. We thought, well, somebody will get elected and then things will calm down and we'll release the record. Exactly. So, you know, like at our release day, I mean, just putting things out on Facebook and stuff, and it was like still so very golf clap. But we're trying, and you know, one thing that we're finding is that for what we do and for who we are, we're doing really well over in the UK. We've got a lot of radio people that are just in love with the record and play it, and we're trying to, you know, get even more. You know, Tennessee Whiskey is climbing the charts, so to speak. Cross your fingers and toes. It's at number 11 now, and
very nice.
Didn't make the top 10 this week, but maybe we will next week. And so, you know, you just keep plodding away, you try different things. One of the things that I think is really cool is like the reason why you and I talk is because we share best practices as independent artists. You can say, well, you know, I tried that and I really wouldn't waste my money on it. Or listen, here's something you really should try because I did try it and it's worth it, you know. And yeah. And I think that we as musicians and as independent artists need to be there for each other because we're not going to get any help from anybody else.
Right. Well, here's my tip to you. MySpace. It's all the rage. You guys should give it a shot.
MySpace.
You think it'll make it?
I think it just might. So just out of curiosity, you know, can you give all us married songwriters and artists out there a little tip about working creatively with your spouse? I mean, what are the pros and what are the cons and how do you work around?
Wait a minute. They've only been married for what?
But they've known each other for a long, long time. The long road to you, Scott.
That's what we're talking about.
Right? Yeah.
No, you know, I think that we're really best friends and I know that we are.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been married and I've been in relationships with people that's been like, get me the hell out of here.
You're right. And, but when it comes to like writing and, you know, it's easier to be honest with somebody you're not in a relationship with and say, no, that line is no good. You know, that kind of thing.
I think you have to trust each other. You have to trust each other that you're not going to throw each other under the bus or do any mate bashing or anything like that. You have to listen to each other and be honest with each other. And then you need to have time apart, you know? I mean, Casey just signed a record, publishing deal up at Banner Music.
Oh, nice.
So he goes up there and does his sessions and time, you know, I go off and write with my folks. And then time he comes home and I come home, I'm so happy to see him again and make a little dinner and play a little music. We do really well on the road together. We have rituals. No talking in the car. We just have rituals. You have to have that.
Hold on, you don't talk in the car?
No talking in the car to save our voices, but it, you know.
Okay.
Interesting.
We used to do that, and then we'd show up to gigs.
I have to save my voice.
Scott, I'm going to try that. Saving it right now.
Hey, I know. Let's have a new ritual. No talking during the show. Okay?
Logan, you can't be serious with these guys at all, can you?
One sentence for answer yeah. for
you. Okay, let's hear it.
Okay.
Yeah. Question. Sometimes it works.
Okay.
There you go.
Sometimes it works. All right.
Yeah.
So are you guys going to be out touring? You're going to be what's the plan there?
We've got a bunch of mini tours we've planned. We're doing in May, we're going down to Baton Rouge to do Casey's homeland, if you will, where he grew up. And we've got a big show there. And then in June, we go up to New York, Massachusetts, New Jersey. We're going to go through Ohio. So we have a show in Ohio. We just like this sort of roundabout tour. In September, we go to the Pacific Northwest.
Yes,
your
you do.
Homeland.
Yes.
Mm. And we've got a wonderful show in Spokane at the Bing Crosby Center.
And then you're in Grants Pass. I saw you got a couple shows in Grants Pass.
A couple shows in Grants Pass. We're going to just travel all the way up. So we're just trying to book these tours, and I think we're going to try and do a little sort of Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina deal in October, and we've got a bunch of shows booked so far, and that's arduous work right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the work.
We've both been messing around with that the last couple of months.
It'll make you mind-numbing. It's soul-stealing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Soul-stealing. But it's got to be done. We want to go out and play for people. We want to find our people, and we want to play. So
that's it.
Got to do it.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Well, you guys, this has been wonderful. Again, the website is Kelly and Ellis, and A-N-D is the and, ellis.com.
Right. Same on Twitter, at Kelly and Ellis. Mm-hmm.
And the album is called The Long Road to You. It just busted out 2 days ago, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And thank you guys for coming in and being part of the
Thanks
show.
So much, guys. You guys are the best.
Yeah, wish you a lot of success with the CD.
Hey, and while you're at it, you know, Casey has got a great book out about songwriting. Go check that out at Amazon.com, The Idiot's Guide to Songwriting. Perfect for people like us.
There you go.
Lots of stuff for you to go buy. Go do it. And we'll see you next week on The Music Row Show.
If you're in Memphis, I'm playing Tuesday at the Green Beetle.
The Green Beetle. Go see it.
Come see me.
Which one are you? John, Paul, George, Ringo?
I'm the green one.
Okay.
I'm Hulk Beetle.